Well, we have a message coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. It's on the back of your notes there. The Lord wants you to know who He is. He wants to reveal Himself to you. And there are different ways that He goes about that. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to go ahead and read the passage.
Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God."
Amen. Amen. Let's do prayer over it. Father, I ask that Your word be effective today and go and do exactly what You have designed for it to do today. And each of our hearts we open to You as the sower of the seed. We say, Lord, let Your word accomplish that which You sent it and produce our fruitfulness in us. In Your name we pray. Amen. I was looking at this and I felt the Lord quickened me to go to this passage, and for the life of me I couldn't figure out why. Have you ever had a time when you're looking at the Bible and you go, "I just don't get this. I just don't understand why You're drawing me to this passage." And so you labor, you think, you look up stuff, you go. And finally I realized the Lord wanted to reveal Himself to His disciples. How many of you know that the most important thing and piece of knowledge you'll ever know that is eternal, that'll carry you into eternity, is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that He's died for our sins, washes away our sins, and we can belong to Him, come into His family, have our names written in the book of life? That's the most important thing, because you can die and there's no faith coming through another channel. Jesus is it. There's one name by which men are saved, Jesus alone. And all the roads lead there, and you can get in all kinds of battles and stuff like that. But the reality is we're all going to stand before the one and only Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before Him and give account of our life before one person, and His name is Jesus Christ. So I want to back up just a minute before we get into this, looking at the passage and what the Lord has there. I was just thinking about stepping back, looking at how the Lord was revealing Himself, and starting with, say, Matthew chapter 8. Right there, the first four verses, Jesus is approached by a leper, a guy who's unclean, and He says, "If You're willing, you can cleanse me." And Jesus reveals Himself to this leprous, diseased person as the healer. And He says, "I'm willing." And He doesn't just say it. He reaches out and touches him. And this man is transformed. The healing happens, and Jesus is revealing, "I touch people who are untouchable." So He begins to open our hearts and eyes. Then, the very next thing, a centurion, a Roman centurion, comes walking up to Him and says, "I have a servant who's paralyzed, who's really struggling really bad. He's suffering terribly." And Jesus offers to come to his house. And the centurion says, "Oh, no, no, I'm a centurion. I'm a man under authority. When I say to a man, go, he goes. And to this man, come, he comes." He says, "All you have to do is speak the word." And Jesus speaks. He looks at him. First of all, he just is amazed. You know, the Jewish people are not responding like this. And he's to come to his own sheep. And they're not even demonstrating that level of faith. And this Roman soldier, he's like, "I've not seen greater faith like this. This is incredible." And he says, "So be it." And he was healed that same moment. When he got back, the time was when Jesus said, and he revealed to himself as the one who has authority to speak the word and heal at a distance. Aren't you glad God doesn't have to, he can just be around. But you can speak, he'll speak. How many of you need him to speak to you today? Then there's, he goes and rebukes the fever off of Peter's mother-in-law. She's sick in bed, and we were actually there, and they in Capernaum, where they say that house is. And said this, but it's all believed that this is Peter's mother-in-law's house. You know, Peter's house where the mother-in-law was. And when you're there in Capernaum and you're looking at that, it just does something to you. And so he rebukes the fever. She gets up and serves. And then all night long, all that evening, every demon-possessed person, all the sick people, multitude just coming. And he's healing and healing and healing and casting out spirits, healing and healing, doing this all night long. Then, this is the one that really gets me. So now, he's in the boat, and he's sleeping in the boat. How do you remember that story? Jesus is crossing over to the other side a couple of times, and he's in the boat and he's asleep, and a storm comes up, and the disciples are afraid, and they're waking him up. He wakes up and he says, he rebukes the wind, right? And it stops instantly. So it shows that he has authority. And then everything calms down. And this is their response. This is the disciples that he's working with. He says, what they say, what sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? Now, how many of you know Jesus has been revealing himself, having authority, having all kinds of impact, right? And now these guys, these are the disciples, and they're wondering, what kind of a man is this? They're not saying who he is, but he's revealing who he is. And then he gets over to the other side, and he's in this place where these demonized people who are really, really messed up, he casts demons out of them. And guess what the demons say? Are you ready? Son of God, why have you come to torment us before her time? The demons knew who he was better than the disciples did. Isn't that something? The devil knows who Jesus is better than most people, because demons have a greater revelation of who he is, because they know that they're going to be judged, and Jesus is the judge of all, and he's going to be judging them at that time. Then, as we're moving up toward this story, Jesus is presented a paralytic. A guy's come to the laid at his feet, and now he's going to reveal himself a little differently. Instead of just healing the man, he's going to interject something else. And he says, looks up at the Pharisees and says, what's easier for me to do? To forgive sins or to say, rise up and take up your bed and walk? And of course, the Pharisees are over there going, well, they don't want to say nothing. But he says, to show you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Now he's revealing himself as the forgiver of sins. He says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. See, if you forgive the sins, you can't see that. But to prove that he forgave the sins, he spoke and the man stood up and walked. Now, well, let me ask you this. Here's an interesting thing, just a little sub-note here. What was it harder for Jesus to do? Was it harder for him to forgive the sins or harder for him to speak the healing? And I think it was harder to forgive the sins because he had to die. He had to give his life and die on the cross, but he was speaking in advance of his sacrificial gift to forgive. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then he's healing blind men. He's cast out a mute spirit. A man speaks as things that never have happened before. He has compassion on the multitudes, the sick and the bound, all coming to him. He calls the disciples to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. He's going through all these things. He selects 12 to be his apostles. He sends them forth to minister and to grow in the ministry. He continues to heal people and instruct people in the kingdom through parables like the parable of the sower. He defines defines to everybody who is real mother. And he says, his mother walks in, his brothers walk in, and they say, who is my mother? Who are my brother? Those who do the will of God. So he's doing all this stuff. And then he feeds the 5,000. With two fish and five loaves. He feeds the 5,000. And at the end of this now, he's going to get back into the boat. Now, instead of getting in the boat, how many of you, he was in the boat before and he fell asleep? That was after a day of ministry and he was sleeping and he rebuked the wind. But they didn't know who he was. They said, who is this? Who is this that has authority over the wind and the sea and obey him? Who is this? I wonder if Jesus remembered that comment. about them wondering who he was after all the stuff that he's been doing, and they still don't have revelation of who he is. How many things have God done in your life, and you still are wrestling with who he is in your life, and you come up to another challenge, and you need to know who he is in your life now. And the Lord's, you know, when I think of revealing, when I think of God revealing himself to somebody, I think of them coming in here in the Spirit of God, coming upon them, and then giving them a relation, an encounter with the love of God and the touch. And that's how I think. I think like that. When God wants to reveal himself, he doesn't think always, he uses that, and that's all good. But you know what he does? Sometimes to reveal himself, he thinks differently. He thinks like a boat and a storm. When he wants to reveal himself, he's not on your and my level. He's on his level. And they didn't get it last time we were in the boat. So I'm going to go ahead and send you out in the boat by yourselves. And I'm going to go up to the mountain and I'm going to pray. Just let that settle in. Because right now, somewhere in your life, you're on a journey and you're going to the other side of something. You're over here, but you're going to go over there. And it could be a assignment of the Lord. It could be that you just messed up in life. It could be that somebody's messing up you in life. But somewhere you're going from over here to over there. And that's what our first fill in the blank is about. Is what is your other side? It might be that you're moving from addiction to non-addiction. It might be that you're moving from not being married to being married. It might be that you're moving from a brokenness out of your life to a wholeness out of your life. God's got you on a journey, and you're moving. You're going to the other side. And Jesus says, I'm sending you to the other side. For the disciples, it was the next ministry assignment. For City Church, it's our next ministry assignment, moving over here. You pick your life and you look at where you're headed, what's going on in your life, and God is probably giving you a flicker of some kind of a dream or hope or something, and you see what it's supposed to be like and you're headed that way. Is that right? And God's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to cause you to understand who he is through this going to the other side. Now, Jesus seems to be nowhere in sight. He's up on a mountain praying. I think he's praying how he's going to work this revelation. He's going to reveal himself to you. Everybody say, Jesus wants to reveal who he is to me. And see, what happens is they get in the boat and they start heading to the other side and they get out in the water, and now the water becomes turbulent and it becomes trying, and they're putting out a lot of effort and not getting a lot of results. And they're a long way. Isn't it amazing? When Jesus gets in the boat, it doesn't seem like it takes that long to land. But how many of you know it? When you're in the middle of the trial, it feels like you got a long way to go. And the other side seems so far. It's such a trial to feel that way. And something's against you, and it's the wind. Something is against you. It may not be in your circumstance. It might not be just the wind of the outside in nature, but it could be some hellish wind. It could be some contrary stuff that just keeps pushing on you. Is that right? And here's the other thing. It's that they're beaten by the waves, or a long way from land. The wind's against them, and it's 3 a.m. How many of you, when you're going through it, you don't sleep well? Let's just let the thing settle in right now. Now, let's go ahead and put up this next question. What is your boat? What is your present stormy situation? What is happening in your soul and happening? Because Jesus is about to reveal himself to you.
Yes.
Jesus has come during a difficult time in your life to show up and show off. Jesus has come to show up and to show off. He's come during the difficult, straining, hard, challenging, stormy, where you don't know if you're going to make it or not, and you sure wish. You know, some of you are like, I'm a skilled at this, and I'm going to keep rowing and keep rowing, and it doesn't look like nothing's going on. It could be the deterioration of a relationship. It could be all kinds of things. And you, no matter what you do, it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere. I know most of my problems have really not been with a whole lot of other people, because it's really just about what's going on inside of me. How many of you have storms on the inside of your own soul? Present stormy situations. you're wrestling with something and you just keep falling at it. You don't get there. You don't know what's going on. And God says, I'm going to show up and reveal myself to you. I'm going to show up and reveal myself to you. I'm going to show up in your life. You know me so far, but I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm the God who wants to reveal who I am to you in the middle of your storm. I'm the God who wants to show up to you when you're stressed out and you can't go anymore. I'm going to come and show you that I'm in charge of it all. That I'm over it all. Just take heart. Jesus has been off on the mountain praying for you. In the midst of your trying hard, he's over here praying. He's on the mountain praying. Somebody just say, the Lord's praying for me. Go ahead and say, the Lord's praying for me. He always intercedes. It says, in this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Some praise the Lord with me. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just open to this. Open both doors of your heart. The Lord's wanting to reveal himself to you in the midst of your storm. In the midst of what's trafficking in your mind, some of you need him to come and say, I'm Jehovah Shalom, I'm the God of peace. And he'll come and he'll bring peace to you. Some of you need him as Jehovah Jireh. He says, I'm going to provide for you. Some of you need him as Jehovah Rapha. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bring healing to you. Some of you need him as Jehovah Nisi, the banner. The Lord is our banner. He says, I'm going to release warfare against the adversary and defeat him for you. And you're going to see me in a new light and win battles that you couldn't do on your own. I'm going to empower you to go where you couldn't go before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you feel like you're a long way from where God instructs you to go? How many of you? How many of you feel like I'm not where God said go here, and I'm sure not there? It's a long ways off. It feels like this message is designed for you today. How many of you feel like you've been beaten down by the waves, and you just can't get over it? The ups and the downs, the ups and the downs. Has anybody going through some ups and downs lately? Get ready. Jesus knows how to walk through ups and downs. How many of you feel like you've been having to resist something for a while? It just keeps blowing and blowing and blowing. It's like, my goodness, when is this going to let up? This is hard. This is difficult. Right about here, you'd feel like people would jump ship because they're in this difficult situation. Over this last couple of years in dealing with this building, I have had more times being up at 3 a.m. than you could ever imagine. I've gotten to know Jesus at 3 a.m. I get up in the middle of the night and I don't even pray much. I just sit there, go across in the other room. I sit there and I say, I need you. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel close to God. I just tell him, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you to do stuff. You do whatever you want. I just need you. If you just show up, I'll be okay. Yes. I just need you. Yes. I just need you. Yes. Would you show up and be, just take care? And then I wake up in the peace of God in the morning. I wake up and he's there. And that pressure, that contrary wind, that stuff that was coming against me is backed off. A couple of days later, I'm up at 3 a.m. I need you. I need you. How many of you wish you were a whole lot further along in your character development than you are? We need him. Just say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. It's not prideful. It's not weak. It's just good, solid humility because Jesus modeled it himself. Jesus said, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. He said, I don't say anything except to hear the Father say it. He modeled for us complete and total surrender. Everybody say complete and total surrender seems to be the deal. How many of you surrender and then the thoughts come back and you got to do it all over again? And then you surrender and you beat them down and you got to go do it all over again. Well, good. Keep doing it. He always comes.
Yes.
He always comes. He always responds to the cry. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's near to the contrite in spirit. He's always there. Even when you don't feel that he's there. Just know this. He's on the mountain praying for you. And he's on his way. The book of Mark, I won't even read it out there, but the book of Mark says he intended to pass by. You know, sometimes you wonder, did the Lord have an attitude? Jesus is walking on the water. He's walking on the water. He's walking on. Who does that? But here's what I wanted to talk to you about. This is the one word that I felt like really sums up the state of heart and mind when you're going through the storm. Are you ready? Uncertainty. That seems to be the place that the Lord can come and reveal himself as the certain one.
Hallelujah.
When you are uncertain, get ready for him to show up. When it's uncertainty, that's the realm of faith. Somebody getting something out of this today?
Yes.
I looked at this whole thing and said, Lord, what is the one word that sums up the whole experience in their hearts? He says, uncertainty. When you're tossed, when you're spent, when you don't know what's going on and you can't get through, that's where he wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus comes to reveal himself when you're uncertain. You feel most comfortable when you're certain. You feel most uncomfortable when you're uncertain. How many of you know you need the comforter to come when you're uncertain? And so he shows up. And when he shows up, they're terrified. It blows my mind. They're terrified. They think it's a ghost. And they start to cry out in fear. How many times the Lord didn't show up exactly the way you wanted him to? Or he's out there in the fog, in the mist of it all. This is the most incredible moment, I think, I know, in Peter's life. I want to go ahead and tell you this in advance. It's not until two chapters later that Peter has the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is before that. This is back when they're still wondering, who is he who has authority to rebuke the wind? And Jesus is coming to reveal himself. Now, exactly how does the Lord need to reveal himself to you today? Is he speaking to you? So Jesus comes showing up and he tells everybody, don't be afraid. Take heart. He says this. He's in the water, standing on the water. They're in the boat, just going up and down. He's standing on the water. He's walking by us a little ways from them. They're going, is it a ghost? They're terrified. They're crying out. He's standing on the water, walking around. And he says, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter, Mr. Impulsive, Peter impulsively responds and says, if it's you, Lord, command that I come out to be, you know, to you. Jesus is going, he's getting it. He's getting it. Come. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and gets to Jesus. I don't know how long it is, but he's walking on the water and he comes to Jesus and he realizes what he's doing. And the wind, it says the wind cuts him off. The wind blows up and he catches him off guard. And he goes, ah! He goes, save me! And Jesus takes him by the hand and walks him back to the boat and they get in. The insight that the Lord is putting in my heart about this is there's water that he wants you to walk on. He came to give, to reveal his authority. There's something that's impossibly possible in your life. Those were the words. There's something that's impossibly possible. And there's an area of your life that God says, that's your water. You come walking. Let's praise the Lord. Let's just open to it. I don't know how to get it in there, but I know that the Lord is saying, I'm camping on the fact that I've called you to come and respond and step out of the boat, step out of the situation and come toward me, and I will cause you to overcome in a way you've never understood before. I'll give you power over things that you've never understood you'd have power over. You are given authority in Christ Jesus when you respond to his word and you come to him. And this is amazing to me. Why would Jesus say, oh, ye of little faith? Why did you doubt? Unless he wanted to reveal himself as the one empowers you to do the impossible. What else could it be You step out to do the impossible, and then God says, don't doubt. That's what I made you for. I made you to do something completely impossible on your own terms. Completely impossible. Supernatural. Not any way you're going to do it without my empowerment. It's not going to happen. Come on, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Spirit of faith is in the room right now. It's not my emotional excitement. It's just the Lord's releasing faith, because he's confronting us on those areas that he says, I've called you to walk in a supernatural way in my kingdom with authority over things that you never imagined you'd have authority over. To subdue things that would bring fear to your mind. Let's praise him, guys. Praise the Lord with me. And now, the disciples, this time they don't say, who is this who has authority over the wind and the sea to make it obey him? They don't say that this time. This time they say, truly, you are the Son of God. And still, with that level of authority, later, Peter realizes, this one who caused me to do the impossible is the one who's going to do even more. He's going to die for me and shed his blood on the cross for me. How many of you felt that your shame has just been an impossibility to overcome? Your sins and the things that hold you back in life have been impossible to overcome. And the Lord said, you just come on out and walk on the water with me. Let the faith come in you and you stand up and walk with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord doesn't come just to put his arm around you. Sometimes he says, we're just going to go ahead and reveal who I am to you right here in the storm. How many of you need a God to show up in the middle of the storm? Who is Jesus revealing himself to be to you? Some of you need him as the healer, as the reconciler, as the all kinds of ways the Lord wants to reveal himself to you. When I look around the room, little thoughts just pop in my head, because there's so many varied needs in the room. I want to just declare to you, Jesus is going to heal what's broken. And where you didn't think you could walk, you'll be able to walk. Jesus is going to free you from points of bondage. And where you never thought you were free to walk, Jesus is going to cause you to walk. And you'll turn around and say, how did I do that? Because you learn how to walk on water by responding to Jesus saying, come. Lift your heads to the Lord. What just keeps coming back to my mind over and over and over is Jesus saying to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? The Lord wants to empower you with a capacity to do something that you never thought you could do ever. And that's what this message is about. He says, I'm revealing myself to you as the one to cause you to do something that you never could do on your own. I'm going to give you the power and the strength, the ability, the capacity, the anointing, the healing, the restoration, the renewal, just the sheer faith. I don't know who you are, but the Lord's cracking something right now. You have had a doubt over the Word of God. The Lord wants to break the doubt. You're doubting the Word of God. He wants to break the doubt, crack apart what's on your mind. Here's what it is. There's been so many times that you've been buffeted that you just said, that's what life is going to be. I'm going to be buffeted. That's life. And so you kind of, and the hope has kind of robbed out of your spirit. And the Lord's coming today and saying, no, I'm going to bust that off of you, because you're coming out. He didn't come to leave you in the condition you were in. He's come to liberate you. Somebody's going to be free today, because the doubt that's been on your mind is breaking off, and God's cracking apart that unbelief in your own mind and your own soul and severing it and saying, you're mine. Come get in the water. I'm a little passionate right now, but the Lord is... When I see something, I go for it. Hallelujah. Just praise him now. Just say, that's me. Say, take it. Say, that's me, Lord. That's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
some of you right now as an action step, stay in the Spirit, to stay in the Spirit, keep your eyes closed. Some of you, because no one's looking around now, this is a holy moment. Some of you need to step out of your boat. And how you're going to do that is you're just going to stand up. That's your action step right now, and that's the faith actuating. And there it is, Amy. It's actuating.
Praise you, Lord.
Right now, step out
praise
of that boat
Lord.
Right
praise
now
you, Lord.
And tell the Lord,
you, Lord,
I believe. I believe.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
I believe you're going to do
praise
what
you
said you're going to do.
Praise you, Lord. Receive the empowerment.
Name.
Receive His help. Just worship Him. Worship Him like you've never worshiped before. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's worship and praise you, Lord. Oh, breakthrough. Break through all of my doubts. Break through. Break through all of my fears. Break through. That I may worship you. My guilt and my shame, break through. You are brighter. Oh, you are brighter than my darkest night. You are tough, stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my king, my friend, and I'll never be the same again. Break through all of my doubts, break through. Break through all of my fears, break through. That I may worship you. Break through all of my pain, break through. All my guilt and my shame, break through. Like only you can do. Go ahead and take the hand of somebody. Next, you're going to pray, and then we're going to release you to come up for other ministry if you like. Lord, just hold your hand, somebody there. And as you do, remember this moment. Jesus said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached his hand, and he picked up Peter out of the water. And as you're holding that hand, I want you to have the sensation of Jesus taking your hand and lifting you up out of the place where you struggle to believe, because the Lord is for you and He's not against you. He's not here to berate you. He's here to promote you. The Lord is here to bless you and put His hand upon you and cause you to do what you could never do in yourself. Let's praise Him, guys. Let's praise Him. So, Lord, we bless You with the spirit of faith. We ask, Lord, you fill in every heart. Let nothing steal this seed in the name of Jesus. Let this thing bring forth a fruition and a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We have other agreeing prayer up here if you want more prayer. Hallelujah.